Well, good morning, friends. It is a great joy and privilege to be with you this first day of another year, this first day of another week. I want to thank Brian for his leading this morning, for helping in that. I appreciate that. And I would probably rather be where you are this morning, but we trust the Lord will bless us as we turn to his word. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Could I also just wish you the Lord's richest blessing in this year that we have entered. We pray it may be a peaceful and blessed year for all. Deuteronomy chapter 8, please. And reading from verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou shouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep his commandments, the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths, that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart is be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us this reading of his own most precious word. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer before we return to the word of God. Our Father, we do want to thank thee for this privilege to open thy precious word this morning, this privilege to be together this first day of another year. We've been thinking already of those who are not so privileged, our Father, those of thine own children who are under regimes where this is not possible, or under war conditions, our Father. We just pray for them this morning, that our Father, thou wilt build them up in their most holy faith, that they may be able to stand in the evil day. So our Father, we just pray that thou wilt presence thyself with us this morning by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt help the speaker, but that thou wilt also speak to the speaker, and speak to each heart this morning, for we ask it in and through the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Many years ago, when I was 17 or perhaps 18 years of age, I took my driving test. And the truth is, I failed it miserably. I thought I could drive, but you know, really I couldn't. At that point, my experience of cars was very limited. Show me a football or a cricket bat, and I had no problem knowing what to do, but a car was a mystery to me. I had taken a few lessons, but not nearly enough. I think I scared the life out of the wee man that was sitting beside me. He may well have changed his career after that, joined the Foreign Legion, who knows. At the end of the great ordeal, which is what it was for him, he gave me a list of things I had done wrong. It was quite a comprehensive list. And one of the many faults on that list was not using my mirror properly. See, several times during the test, I moved the car forward without looking back. You really shouldn't do that. Before moving forward, I forgot to look back. And just as we have entered 2023, as a fellowship of the Lord's people here in Saintfield, and as individual believers, I believe the Word of God would encourage us to look back before moving forward. Here in the book of Deuteronomy, at the end of 40 years in the wilderness, Moses and the children of Israel have reached the very threshold of Canaan, the promised land. And the Lord, through Moses, reminds the people that before moving forward, they need to look back. The word remember appears 14 times in the book of Deuteronomy. It's the Hebrew word zachar, and it simply means to call to mind. But what was Israel to call to mind? They were first of all called to remember a very specific path through the wilderness journey. Verse 2 here says, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." They were not to look back and remember their way. How unprofitable that would have been. How soul-destroying that would have been. To remember their unbelief, their rebellion in the wilderness. To remember their murmuring against Moses and against the Lord. To remember even their loathing of the manna that fell in their midst. For they grew tired of the Lord's provision. How unprofitable to recall their desire to return to Egypt and to the house of bondage, to turn back in the way. But in contrast to all their ways, not one of the Lord's ways with them was to be forgotten. All the way that he had brought them was to be remembered. Every stage of the journey, every scene of wilderness life was to be recalled. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God has led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. You know, at the end of a year and the beginning of another year, and our brother has mentioned it talking to the children, you know, there's a great tendency towards self-analysis, self-assessment, self-introspection, even amongst the Lord's people. How we've done in the year that has passed. Our progress, our attainments, even our service. Or perhaps more often than not, we call to mind our lack of faith, our failures, our feebleness, our faults. But Israel was not called to remember their way with the Lord. They were called to remember his way with them. And I believe the principle is the same for us. These things are written about Israel, but they're written for our learning. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3 and verse 13, and I know this may seem like a contradiction, this verse, but I don't believe it is. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind. Paul was certainly not forgetting the Lord's way with him. But in moving forward, he was forgetting those things that would hold him back. Those hindrances to moving forward in the Lord's way. Paul was not forgetting the Lord's way when he stood before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. Where he says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing to both small and great. He had not forgotten the Lord's faithfulness when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 16. And these are really quite sad words. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be led to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching may be fully known. Paul remembered the Lord's way. He was forgetting those things that would hold him back in the Lord's way. I was just thinking of three things that happen when we remember all the way the Lord has led us. First of all, remembering the Lord's way, it causes us to praise him. Remembering the Lord's way, it causes us to trust him. And remembering the Lord's way, it causes us to know him. You know, as a believer, as a child of God this morning, where do you clearly see the Lord's way? Where do you clearly see his loving hand of care, his guidance, his patient grace? Going forward, the Lord asks us to look to him for every step, to seek him constantly for guidance every day. Bertie was praying in the prayer meeting about putting your hand into the Lord's hand as we step out into another year. In other words, to trust him. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and what will he do? He shall direct thy paths. As we step out into another year, not one of us in this room knows what that year will bring for us. Not one of us know what today will bring for us. When Abraham stepped out of Ur of the Chaldeans, he did so by faith, believing God. Abraham could not lean on his own understanding because he didn't have any. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out. And these words follow, not knowing whether he went. Abraham had no sat-nav. He trusted the Lord for every step. And brothers and sisters, it's only, if you like, in the rear view mirror that we see all the way the Lord has led us. It's only then that we realize that as for God, his way is perfect. It's only then that we see that goodness and mercy has followed us all the days of our life. When we remember the Lord's way, it causes us to praise him, to lift up our hearts in worship and adoration. This immediately lifts our thoughts from ourselves to him. In Genesis 24, Abraham is now old. The Bible says, well stricken in years. And he sends out his servant to find a bride for Isaac. And the Lord guides that servant to Rebekah. And when first he sees her, and the nature and the character she displays, the scripture says in Genesis 24 and verse 6, and I love what it says here, that the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way the Lord led me, to the house of my master's brethren." See, Abraham's servant, when he looked back at the path that led him to Rebekah, he said to his heart, "It wasn't my path at all. It was the Lord's path. I, being in the way, the Lord led me." And immediately, he bows his head down and he worshipped. And brothers and sisters, it's only when we look back at the path, the way he has brought us, the many times on the journey he has kept us from evil, seen and unseen, for his loving hand of correction. As we have read this morning in verse 5 here, "Thou shalt consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord God chasteneth thee." You know, here we have the Lord's paternal care on the way, as a father cares for children. The word chastening here does not mean punishment. It means discipline. Chastening is evidence that we are under his divine care. If the Lord never corrected us, but left us to our own devices, what shipwreck we would make. It's also, of course, great evidence of his love. Hebrews 12 and verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth." You know, the same love that provided everything for Israel in the wilderness was the same love that chastened them. Maybe you're under the chastening hand of the Lord this morning. Maybe it's heavy upon you. But it's because he loves you. In correcting us, the Lord always has our good in view because he loves us. Hebrews 12 and 11 says, "No chastening for the present seemeth joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness." All is evidence that he wants the best for his children. Verse 16 of this chapter says, "That he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end." Some of us in this room this morning can look back a long time since the Lord saved us, and it only causes us to praise him for his goodness, for his faithfulness. Even at times when we were not faithful to him, he remained faithful to us. Sometimes the Lord had to nudge us back into the way. And sometimes he had to push us back. And sometimes he brought things into our life to pull us up sharp, for we were going the wrong way. David says in Psalm 119:67, he says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word." Psalm 107, if you just care to turn to it just for a moment. Psalm 107 really is a psalm of Israel in the wilderness. And that psalm begins, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And then it says in verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." This psalm concerns only the redeemed of the Lord. Now, the interpretation of these words belong in a very special way to the nation of Israel, the nation whom the Lord redeemed out of bondage in Egypt and led through the wilderness journey. But the application of these words are for all the redeemed of the Lord in every age. Many of us can say from our hearts this morning, "I am redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord. My soul from bondage free has found at last a resting place in him who died for me." When I was preparing this little message this morning, I was rebuked in my own heart. That happens many times. I sit down and think, well, this is a nice wee thought to share. And then the Lord bangs me in the head. It's for me. And when I was preparing this message, I was rebuked in my own soul. Recently, I was asked to give a word of testimony, and in recent years, I've given the same stock reply. No one wants to hear my testimony. I was saved as a boy. There's no big story there. You see, I forgot the bit in between. The wilderness journey. The Lord redeemed Israel from the hand of the enemy. But when we come to verse 7, it says, "And he led them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city of habitation." Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Often we rob the Lord of praise for what he has done, not only in saving us, but in leading us on with himself. What about the years in between? The years that he has led us and fed us in the wilderness, and this world is a wilderness. His goodness, his mercy, many times he has caused us to raise our Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee in the wilderness. Looking back at the Lord's way, it causes us to praise him. The right way is only when God himself is the guide. He has not delegated guidance to an angel or to a man. Moses, the man of God, and what a man he was. Moses, the man of God, didn't say to the people, "Thou shalt remember all the way I led you in the wilderness." He said, "Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee in the wilderness." The Lord didn't leave Israel in the wilderness. He led Israel in the wilderness. And he hasn't left us in the wilderness. He has said, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He leadeth me, O blessed thought." At Stephen and Rachel's farewell, Pastor Taylor quoted the wee chorus which I had forgotten. Used to sing it in Sunday school. "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow." There's only one way, and it's his. When we remember the Lord's way, it causes us to praise him. When we remember the Lord's way, it causes us to trust him. Often the Lord brings us a way that we ourselves would never have chosen. It may be a hard way. It may be an incomprehensible way to others. But only in looking back do we see it was the Lord's way. Therefore, looking back, it causes us to trust Him going forward. Where He may lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust Him so. In the wilderness, the Lord led Israel a roundabout way. The actual journey should have only taken a few days. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 2, there's a little verse there and it's in brackets. Seems insignificant. And it says, there are 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. 11 days journey essentially took 40 years. The Lord didn't lead them by the quickest way. He didn't lead them by the most direct way. He led them by the right way. It was the way of trial. There's no doubt about that. It was the way of testing, where He humbled them on the way. Three times in these verses we have read about that humbling. Verse 2, to humble thee. Verse 3, and He humbled thee. Verse 16, that He might humble thee. It reveals to our hearts just how much humbling Israel needed. And I'm no different. Many times we want to go our own way. Many times we think best. I know this. We being what we are need to be humbled. One of the old writers, and I love this writer, C.A. Coates, says, God has led us by a way designed to reduce and humble us that we may prove His sufficiency every day. We have no sufficiency. Our sufficiency is of Him. He suffered them to hunger. He brought them away where they felt the pang of hunger, that He might feed them with manna. Beloved, the world will never satisfy the child of God. I've dabbled in it, nibbled at it. It never satisfied me. Maybe you're a wee bit dabbling this morning. Maybe you're a wee bit in the world this morning. You know you shouldn't be there. It's not satisfying your heart. Psalm 107 and 9 says, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Every morning the manna fell in the midst of God's people in the wilderness, and only amongst God's people. It never fell in Egypt. It never fell in the nations around. There were other paths through the wilderness, but none where the bread of heaven fell. Only the Lord's path. You remember what the Lord said to Elijah, the prophet, in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 3. He said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Nowhere else could Elijah have been divinely provided for but at the brook Cherith. Just the one place. And our food comes from just the one place. It's on that path. Israel learned to trust Him for their daily bread, to depend upon Him. But there was a greater lesson than the physical. Listen what it says. It was that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now the first thing you notice here is that the Lord taught them on the way. As they journeyed, he taught them that he might make thee know. I don't know about you, it takes me a long time to learn spiritual lessons. As they journeyed, I often think, and I know I've said it before, but I often think of the two on the road to Emmaus. And the Lord joins himself with them. And they began that wonderful Bible study. But I also think the Lord didn't stop walking, did he? He didn't go to the side of the road and say, look lads, whatever it was, you know, here's what you need to know. And then he closed the book and let them go. That didn't happen. He taught them on the way. And he brought them the whole way home. Beloved, we're not going to get it all this morning. You can be sure of that. The Lord teaches us on the way. He's gracious. And he feeds us. You know, the Word of God is essential for every aspect of life. Not just for sermons. Not just for Bible studies. Not just for church meetings. Our dependence is on the Word of God for life itself. We cannot differentiate between God and His Word. Every word proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. We only have to think for a moment of the place that the Savior gave to the Word when he was upon the earth. He lived like no other man lived. He lived by every word of God. When he was tempted by the evil one in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, we know that everything was available to him. The Lord never ceased to be God. He could have called 10,000 angels, as we often sing. He could have dispensed with Satan with a wave of his hand. But what did he do? The tempter came to him and he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. In other words, it's Dan's written. That's what it means. It's forever settled in heaven. This is the place the Son of God gave to the Word of God. It was above everything else. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We thought of it already on the Emmaus Road. The risen Lord instructed his own and built their sad hearts up through his word. When the great apostle Paul was leaving, was exhorting Timothy to continue on, how much scripture is emphasized. We know those words again in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16. Says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture, not some scripture. I'm more guilty than anybody in this room. I love certain passages of scripture. I love certain verses of scripture. We all do. But it's not some scripture. It's all scripture. It's for us. Given for us. And is divinely given for us. As doctrine, it tells us what is right. As reproof, it tells us what is not right. as correction that tells us how to get right, and as instruction in righteousness, it tells us how to keep right. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is leaving the Ephesian elders. He had been there for 3 years, and they're sad that he's leaving. But what resource does he leave with them? What does he leave with them? He says in verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." God's word and God's way are inseparable. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." When we remember the Lord's way, it causes us to trust him. For God is faithful to his word. What he has said, he will do. We hymn says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. When we remember the Lord's way, it causes us to trust him. When we remember the Lord's way, it causes us to know him. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses says to the Lord, "Show me now thy way, that I may know thee." We truly know a person by their ways. And the closer we walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord, the more we know his ways. The more we know what pleases him. God's way is, and we've talked about it from the beginning, God's way is, before moving forward, we need to look back. He asks us to look back and praise him. He asks us to look back and trust him. He asks us to look back and know him. The first time the word "remember" is used in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe, is instructive. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15, the Lord, through Moses, says to the children of Israel, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm." 40 years Israel had been in the wilderness at this point. 40 years since they had sheltered under the blood of the Paschal Lamb. 40 years since the Lord had opened the sea before them and they had walked to freedom on dry ground. And the same sea engulfed their enemies. Here, 40 years later, Israel was to call to mind their deliverance, and more specifically, the one who had delivered them. They were to remember a time when they were in the service of another, a hard taskmaster who held them in bondage. But the Lord had brought them out. He had freed them from the house of bondage, delivered them from the enslaver. Above all, they were to remember what the Lord had done for them. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul writes about a greater deliverance. He says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." The Lord has a way of reminding us of that deliverance. How important it is, the first day of a week, before we move forward into another week, that we come together to remember what the Lord has done, to call to mind His sufferings, to call to mind that He was wounded for our transgressions, that He was bruised for our iniquities. This He has asked us to do for Him. Beloved, He hasn't asked us to do much for Him, but He's asked us to do this. This do in remembrance of me till I come. This is not the least thing we will do this morning. This is the most important thing we will do, for He has asked us to do it. Before moving forward, Israel was to remember those things they had been delivered from, but above all, the one who had delivered them. This is the Lord's way, that we remember Him. Pull back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me to and where I might have been. I'm only a sinner, and sinners forget. So remind me. Remind me, dear Lord. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts for His name's sake. Now we're going to sing a closing hymn. It's 637 in the book. I am trusting Thee, Lord Jesus. I think we know this. I am trusting Thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only Thee.